came in on Billboard at 28 in the first week of release, which was incredibly high.
Yeah, the acceptance was just fantastic here.
So the following week it moved up to 10. So in 2 weeks of its release, it was inside the top 10 on Billboard, which was virtually unheard of.
The success of the record and the American record-buying public, that overwhelmed us, that knocked us back. That was something which we didn't understand. I mean, I'd never had that success in my life before, nor had anyone else. So that was a very warm feeling, because we didn't get that at home.
I'm Jeff Downs of Asia.
And I'm John Whetton.
I'm Carl Palmer from Asia, and you're in the studio for the first Asia album.
Even before it was released, you just knew the debut album from Asia had to be impressive. I mean, the mere mention of the band members, former groups, could send shivers up your spine. Emerson, Lake & Palmer, Yes, King Crimson, Uriah Heep, and Roxy Music. That's a veritable who's who of British rock from the 70s. And as one-third of ELP, drummer Carl Palmer had enjoyed enormous success in one of the forerunners of the progressive rock movement. Like Palmer, former Yes guitarist Steve Howe had also been an integral part of one of the most popular rock bands of the past decade. Highly regarded keyboard player Jeff Downs had done one album and a tour with Yes before that band went on hiatus back in 1980. And John Whetton had been on the brink of stardom for years due to his bass and vocal work with bands like King Crimson, Roxy Music, and UK. So Asia certainly had the talent, but as the first supergroup of the 80s, they were also up against some incredible odds, not the least of which was the climate of the music business in 1982. John Whetton remembers why, in the beginning, Asia seemed like it was the right band at precisely the wrong time.
The whole music industry had set itself up for another great British invasion of punk rock, which never happened. That was about 76, 77, and the aftermath of that was that record companies were still running around signing punk bands, and it just wasn't getting on the radio, nobody was going to see the concerts. And we fell into a musical climate that everybody thought was outdated at the time, I think, which is why the press, who were so pro this new wave, were against us right from the beginning. We got some very bad reviews before we'd even put the record out. And I just think it was what people wanted at that time. We managed to fall into that category. We created our own category, in fact. We gave song-orientated rock to people who basically had grown up in a different generation.
Yeah. the sun will cross the sky, the lion's over. Gone, like the tears that used to tide me over. No disguising it. It really comes as no surprise to find that you planned it all along.
Only time will tell.
I see it now. It comes so clear.
Only time will tell.
Your insincerity and me are starry. You think that I would have known by now. Now, sure as the sun will cross the sky, this lie is over. Lost, like the tears that used to tide me over.
Only Time Will Tell comes from Asia's debut album in 1982. Even though the lineup looked perfect on paper, it was John Wetton who assured me that the other members of Asia were not picked just because of marquee value.
London is a very small place, really, as far as musicians are concerned. Everything is quite close-knit and everybody knows each other. And because of what had happened in the previous 12 to 18 months, that is the contact that had been made between Carl and myself, and having met with Jeff, it was really not down to choosing off a shortlist. There were very few people that one wanted to work with at that time. And if it coincided, which it did, that those people were available and wanted to do it. It wasn't like recruitment. It was coming together, each one for the common cause of being in a group that everybody wanted to be in. Brian Lane, her manager at the time, had made a few suggestions which hadn't worked, and people came through the rehearsal room door and tried out when the four of us were actually there as a nucleus. And when they left, we just felt that they were invading something that was already actually a group.
After the demise of Emerson, Lake & Palmer nearly 3 years earlier, drummer Carl Palmer felt that Asia would provide him with the perfect opportunity to scale things down just a bit.
The frame of mind that I was in, I was hoping that I would enter into a situation which was a song-orientated band rather than any long conceptual pieces, because I'd been playing that for a 9-year period. So when we started to play, the material obviously was perfect for me, for my way of thinking at the time. The impression was it could have been very good or it could have been very bad. It turned out to be very good. And you know what it's like, you can have great musicians all together, but if they don't play good material, then it's really not going to be interesting. If you have great musicians and great material, you do have something special.
Jeff Downs also thought that Asia offered just the right blend of 70s art rock with the more song-oriented music of that day.
I was always a big admirer and a big fan of what were sort of loosely termed the British art rock bands. But I think as music developed through the 70s, the emphasis on song was almost became less and less. And I think that's one of the reasons why quite a lot of them, actually, the popularity of them waned towards the end of the 70s. because there wasn't that emphasis on the vocals. I mean, they were also competing with a lot of the jazz rock stuff that was coming out of America in the mid-70s, the sort of Herbie Hancock Chick Corea thing, which was very sort of musician-based. For me, the excitement was to get, you know, great playing and that sort of innovative playing in much more of a tight framework. That's what we all felt with Asia, and I think that's what we achieved to an extent.
But don't misunderstand. Just because they were looking to cut back on the lengthy progressive pieces that they'd all been used to, Asia was not necessarily taking the easy way out. Here's Carl Palmer.
It is much more difficult to condense 15 minutes into four and have the same impact and yet still have a certain amount of commerciality and identity. That's really crafting music to the highest degree as far as I'm concerned. To have a 15-minute piece of music and sort of long, drawn-out musical passages, it's all very well, it's very nice, but I think all things must develop. And that idea in itself lasted for 10 years, the conceptual piece, the 15-minute piece of music. I think entering into the 80s, musicians had to redesign, rethink, restructure their ideas in such a way where 4 or 5 minutes, they could say what they did before in 20. And for me, that was a great attraction. So that's what I was looking for. And the 80s were crying out for that. But you had to have a certain amount of expertise, writing ability, playing ability to be able to do that. And of course, production standards had improved drastically. Technology had just gone forward so much further. So there was a lot more to be done, a lot more to be had. And it was a very exciting period, to tell you the truth. Very exciting. I feel quite privileged to be involved in the overlap from the beginning of that sort of art rock movement into the sort of symphonic metal rock.
Insanity has found its way to TV screens.
song, Wildest Dreams, is actually a tale of the atrocities of war from the first Asia album. Up next, we'll discuss the importance of image at the dawn of the MTV era. Be sure to follow In the Studio on Facebook and hear more Rockstar interviews at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard, in the studio with John Wetton, Carl Palmer, and Jeff Downs, the number one album debut from Asia.
I'm Jeff Downs of Asia.
And I'm John Wetton.
I'm Carl Palmer from Asia, and you're in the studio for the first Asia album.
I'm Redbeard. When the Asia debut album was released in March of 1982, it contained some songs which singer, bass player John Wetton had actually been working on prior to the formation of the band.
Yeah, Here Comes the Feeling was written the year before Asia started. That was in 1980. The chorus of Heat of the Moment was written, but I didn't have any verse for it. It was originally written in 6/8 as a sort of country and western song. And there were lots of bits and pieces. The chorus of Soul Survivor, which had no verse at the time. I was armed with these sort of pieces of music that really needed finishing off, and that they needed other sections to go with them. And that's where Jeff came in, and we hit it off immediately.
Thank you.
Soul Survivor was one of those songs that John Wetton had partially written before Asia was even formed. As we've already learned, Asia had the remnants of the punk movement going against them when they first got together in 1981. But that wasn't the only way in which Asia went against the grain. Jeff Downes explains.
At that time, the British music industry was becoming very, very fashion orientated, I suppose, with the development of a video. They were much more concerned, I think, with the visual image of a band rather than the musical identity of it. In that respect, I think we were against the grain, you know, certainly where we were. I mean, we were rehearsing in London. But it didn't really matter to us. You know, we felt we had a good idea and we were going to see it through.
Singer John Wetton of Asia.
I'd worked with Roxy Music, which is a very, very fashion-orientated band, and they could get their faces on the cover of any magazine in Europe. Because Europe is not dominated by radio, it's dominated by magazines, the visual image is much more important. But when you come to America, because it's so vast, radio is all important, and the magazines pale into insignificance. Therefore, you have to have a much stronger audio image than you do a visual one. I'm quite convinced of that. I mean, it was only, remember, at that time that MTV was starting up. It was in its infancy. We fortunately had a very strong audio image. Therefore, if I can use Roxy Music as a comparison, however good their music is, it's far outshadowed by the way the band looks. And with us, we felt that the musical image was much more important.
As if they didn't have enough of an uphill battle, Asia also had to contend with an unreasonable amount of criticism from the British press before their album was even released. I asked Carl Palmer, Jeff Downes, and John Wetton why they thought the critics were so negative with regards to Asia.
I think the concept just bored people. You know, they thought it was going to be another art rock band, and it wasn't.
We had a lot of blind faith type analogies bantered around before the album actually came out. But it was almost, because it moved so fast in America, the British and European press were virtually obliged to follow it and report it of what was happening in America at the time. But because we were against that fashionable grain, you know, we got quite a lot of flack. But I mean, it didn't really matter that much, because by that time we were moving so fast in America.
I think most of the reviews at the time, if I remember rightly, it spent about, if you read them, the three quarters of the review was saying why it shouldn't work and what a dreadful concept it was. And then the last quarter or one third or the last line of each review said, oh, by the way, it's a good record, you know.
You've got to realise that that means nothing in England. Music is disposed of very quickly in England. I mean, I don't think any of us have ever had any really good reports or write-ups in any papers. I mean, I've been told that I'm a waste of electricity.
And he plays an acoustic instrument.
Well, we do have to put microphones over drums, gentlemen, for those of us who have not been to many concerts. No, but I mean, the English press, they're just... Well, it's just the environment musically in general in England is just so fast. It's like the fast food in this country. I mean, one year you've got Boy George, the next minute you've got Bross, and the following year you've not heard of either of them.
Remember that success in any form in Britain is frowned upon.
Absolutely.
And it's not just confined to the music industry. It's any kind of success. It's just not done. So you're not allowed to be successful in Britain.
Gazing at our sunrise, reflected in your clear eyes. Misty morning forest, smoke fires. Make our way through the broken day. I couldn't stand to stay without you. We must keep moving while the light is clearing, leaving your dark world behind you. We have to run, life has just begun. Never be alone without you. One chilling bark came screaming through the dark. I saw the yellow moon of midnight. Glowing in the smoke, suddenly alone.
another night reminds me. But as I sleep, the memory that I keep is just another day without you. It seems so long I've been holding on, since I felt my arms around you.
When we come back, we'll find out why Asia played such small venues on their initial tour of the U.S., even though they had a top 10 album at the time. Be sure to follow In the Studio on Facebook and hear more rock star interviews at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard, in the studio for one of the biggest debuts of the 80s, with John Wetton, Carl Palmer, and Jeff Downes, a number one debut from Asia.
I'm Jeff Downes of Asia.
And I'm John Wetton.
I'm Carl Palmer from Asia. And you're in the studio for the first Asia album.
Thank you, Carl. By now we know that in spite of all the odds, Asia's debut album was a phenomenal success. Not only did it sell over 3 million copies here in the States, but it also held the number one spot on the album charts for 9 weeks in the spring and summer of 1982. Jeff Downes, Carl Palmer, and John Wetton remember how the album just seemed to take off.
It came in on Billboard at 28 in the first week of release, which was incredibly high.
Yeah, the acceptance was just fantastic here.
So the following week it moved up to 10. So in 2 weeks of its release, it was inside the top 10 on Billboard, which was virtually unheard of. That was the album.
The single had started going in the tip sheets before then, and then we saw that all four of the main sort of viable songs on the album were being played. That was Heat of the Moment, Only Time Will Tell, Soul Survivor, and Wildest Dreams, if I remember rightly. So those were all well away before the album came out. It was just a great feeling. I mean, the write-ups from the stations around the country were saying, great, you know, fresh sound for the 80s, wonderful. Phones are exploding.
We knew something was happening because Reagan was at the airport to meet us at the time.
I never meant to be so bad to you. One thing I said that I would never do. A look from you and I would fall from grace, and that would wipe the smile right from my face. Do you remember when we used to dance, and incidents arose from circumstance? One thing led to another, we were young, scream together songs unsung. It was the heat of the moment, telling me what my heart meant. The heat of the moment showed in your eyes. And now you find yourself in 82. The disco hotspots hold no charm for you. You can't concern yourself with bigger things. You catch a pull and ride the dragon's wings. Cause it's the heat of the moment. The heat of the moment. The heat of the moment showed in your eyes.
had the phone. What were the things you wanted for yourself? Teenage ambitions you'll remember well.
It was the heat of the moment, telling you what your heart meant. The heat of the moment,
showed in your eyes.
They even scored a number 4 hit with Heat of the Moment. When Asia hit the road for their first tour of the U.S., a lot of people were surprised by the small size of the venues they were playing. Considering the immense popularity of the album, Asia could have been playing arenas rather than theaters. Keyboardist Jeff Downes explains why.
Actually, we already had the tour booked about 5 or 6 months prior to actually going into America. You know, we were very keen to do the whole trip, you know, the live work and the album as well. We booked into quite small places, about, you know, 2 to 3,000 seaters maximum, and the response was staggering because we were valuing the commitments to the smaller places, even though at that stage we could probably have played much bigger. We stuck with the tour that we had already booked in. And of course, you know, the tickets were really, they were the hottest tickets in town, you know, because of course we were playing, sometimes we did a gig with 1,500 people there, and the album was in the top 10. But I mean, from our standpoint, it was a great way to break the band in on a live basis. And of course, the response we got was staggering.
Asia singer and bass player John Wetton.
We were in that slightly awkward position where we only had one album to play. So as soon as we finished that first tour, we were moving into the bigger sheds and having to play longer sets, so we had to write stuff quite quickly, which was to be recorded for the second album, but there were songs that were to be broken in on the road. So the second album came about in a completely different fashion from the first one.
Asia drummer Carl Palmer will never forget the beginning of the tour.
It was up in Potsdam, New York State, and we played at some school, high school kind of affair. And university, it was a small place though, it looked more like a high school, believe me. And we blew the power right out the wall, boom, gone. So they kind of all sort of stopped and looked at me and expected me to do a drum solo. I stopped and said, no, I'll wait with you guys till they repair it. But it was a lot of fun. It was very cold up there. I remember it was the first gig that I'd done for 3 years, and Jeff Downes reminded me in the car on the way to the gig, which is very thoughtful of him. But it was a lot of fun, a lot of fun. We stayed in a motel, which must have been the kind of motel that was in the film Psycho. It was horrible, you know, the shower curtain and things and the dripping tap. I will never forget that place. That's the first gig. And after that, I can't remember where we went. I remember where we were when the album single were number one. We were in Buffalo. I don't know where we've just come from, but we were in Buffalo. We were in the Holiday Inn.
We'd just come from Rochester.
Rochester. And we just checked in and we heard about it, and I think we made our way to the bar at that stage, and that was a big moment. That was sort of quite emotional, you know, very, very good feeling, as you'll understand. I mean, the limousines are a lot better today, by the way. Before, I used to think they were just ashtrays on wheels. we weren't overwhelmed by that. The success of the record and the American record-buying public, that overwhelmed us, that knocked us back. That was something which we didn't understand. I mean, I'd never had that success in my life before, nor had anyone else. So that was a very warm feeling because we didn't get that at home.
after, I thought I'd never see you again. Oh God, where were you when I needed you? I know that you, no, you would never have betrayed me. I thought I'd die, why all the reasons still evade me? But you're back. Now I can see you, now I can feel you. Now that I want you, now I can touch you. Next to me. Here it comes.
Here comes the feeling. Here comes the same old feeling. Here comes the feeling.
Back. Now I can see you.
Asia with Here Comes the Feeling from one of the biggest selling debut albums of the entire 80s decade and a bona fide number one chart topper for both the album and the single Heat of the Moment. I'm Redbeard. We'll be back in the studio after this. This is Redbeard in the studio, thanking my guests John Wetton, Carl Palmer, and Jeff Down. In the Studio was written and produced by yours truly, Redbeard, for Bearded Fish Productions. Copyright 2012, all rights reserved. Transcription by Jane Carpenter Brunet. Theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook. And for this and many more interviews and live performances by the biggest names in rock, visit inthestudio.net.